Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Almeen, and I'm so happy to have you with us. I don't have someone to help us with questions yet again. We've had the last two shows where I've done them alone, and today is another one of those. So let's just jump in with both feet and tackle something that is near and dear to all of our hearts. And what it is enlightenment. What is enlightenment? How do we achieve enlightenment? What do we do if we can't get to where somebody can assist us with that? My brothers and sisters, I hope today to answer as many questions as I can possibly think of that you have asked throughout the years and assist you to come to some sort of a peace of mind as to whether or not you are on the right road, what it is to watch for, and where you are heading with this. First of all, enlightenment can have different meanings. So if that is what we're talking about, let's start out right off the bat to define it. Number one, enlightenment is not a destination. It is simply a quality of the journey that begins a little way down the road, but the journey itself never ends. So let me explain what I mean by that. The enlightenment is really the time that you live from your greater self. And you go through stage after stage after stage of living from that greater self. The only exception is where the majority of humanity is, in that place where we still identify with mind and ego and body, the egoic mind with the bundle of emotions we are, and we have at that point a dialogue in the head. So if we are in ego identification, there's a dialogue. There's a partial dialogue during God consciousness, which is the next stage, but you can say that a God conscious being, which is where many of the masters are of, say, the Far East and so on. But there is a partial dialogue when they relate. When you go into the ascended master realms, there is no longer a dialogue. All speaking, all writing is done from a place of stillness, silence of the mind. That too is enlightenment. Wherever there is the silence of the mind and actions taking place from the larger identity as a being as vast as the cosmos and in fact beyond having a human experience, you are in enlightenment. It doesn't mean that that's the end of the road. It is but the beginning of a wider road. From that point, you go to the apex of human evolution. And by the way, these stages that I've just described of identity consciousness, God consciousness, ascended mastery, which lies beyond it, each having within it three phases, three big stages with three phases each, is very, very carefully mapped out in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, in which we show how during the initial, sort of truth seeker's way, during the ego identification, the chakras have to open. And chakra fields form. A whole other transfiguration happens. Then during God consciousness, emotional body changes happen. We've got two emotional bodies. One is the emotional body we see as the aura, and the other emotional body is the spiritual emotional body, which provides us higher energy and higher information and more subtle emotions, what's called the inner sense emotions. But the point of the matter is that it's emotional transfigurations that happen during that stage. the stage of ascended mastery, there is total mental body configurations that happen. Totally transfiguring the way it was before. That's why mind is just wiped out at that point. So my brothers and sisters, we go then beyond human stages into Godhood. And many on earth right now are able to move in physicality into those stages of Godhood. Those two don't end. It just keeps going and getting better and better. Now, previously, masters, when they went into the ascended mastery realms, vibrated completely out of here. They took their bodies with them, they vibrated into higher realms, and they went into what is called the Brotherhood of White Light, those ascended masters that have been in our higher levels beyond, say, the spirit worlds. And those ascended masters didn't come back in physicality except for a very few. However, that is not now the case. Masters, when they go into ascended mastery, are staying in physicality per Mother's instruction, because she wanted all kingdoms to be represented here on earth in physicality by humanity, because of that most unique role we play, which is the role of the microcosm with that represents the macrocosm. So if we have to represent everything, we need to have it here in the flesh. And that's one reason. She also wanted us to provide more vitality to the ascended master realms, because they had gotten into great stagnation by over-polarizing into beingness. And so ascended masters that were more involved with doingness, but were yet hooked into the field of the ascended mastery realms, would vitalize it. You know, now the ascended mastery realms is not just the place where the enlightened of humanity go. There are, for instance, beings there from other races, from elf kingdoms, from fairy kingdoms, from dragon realms. They too, on this path of enlightenment, become ascended masters and become immortal as a result. So it's not just humanity. Then beyond that, in the God kingdoms, yet again, all races are welcome. Incidentally, it's very unique that angels have made it into the God kingdom. And there's a reason for that. Recently, Mother has actually made angel gods and goddesses, because she very much felt that they were not represented in the God kingdom. Angels have very wide perception. They deal very much with the known. They work with light. That makes them very, very expanded. But the emotions that are needed to break that barrier between kingdoms and move from one to the other is strong, powerful emotions. And if emotions are not present because of the wide expansion, they have to be evoked by knowing how to raise the kundalini. And so angels don't work that way very well. Passion hasn't been part of what they are. And so they weren't making it into the God kingdom, and so Mother has helped them with that, because it is necessary that races are able to make their way in there. So my brothers and sisters, if we continue, these stages through which we go, we're going to track today how you yourself can move into the higher stages, where there is this larger identity from which you function. And identity is not really the word, because by then you've lost all identity, but it's a larger awareness. To do that, I'd like to define some terms, because they're often incorrectly used, and to tell you the truth, because I'm trying to make sense to people, I myself use them incorrectly because I'm trying to be understood. So let's just define them. What is awareness? And what is consciousness? And then let's see, what is intelligence? think of a mountain, and the mountain has diamonds in it, it has coal in it, it has mud in it, it has stones in it, it has everything in it. It's a mountain at rest. Grass grows over it. Nobody has disturbed it for eons. It just is. That is consciousness. And often I've described that consciousness that rests throughout the cosmos in stillness as the oceans of consciousness. It is aware. It knows it's a mountain. And it knows that life is going on top of its surface and earthworms digging in it and so on. It knows all of that. That's the ocean of consciousness, that which is inside the cosmos. Now, awareness. A miner comes along and sees signs that there could be diamonds in this mountain. So he starts to dig in the mud, hauling out bucket at a time with utmost awareness. He sorts the lumps in the soil between his fingers. The ones he thinks might be diamond, he tosses into a pail to wash the mud off so he can see if they are. But he feels the texture, he feels the weight, he feels the hardness. He's making sure that it's not just a clod of soil. His attitude is one of awareness. Because he could find a huge big one saying, now this couldn't be a diamond, it could be the next Hope diamond. So he's got to be with utmost awareness sorting his loot, if you will. Intelligence. Intelligence chooses between what is life enhancing and what is not. It has a choosing capacity. This is what he exercises as he says, I want this because it's washed clean in the bucket of water and it's a diamond, and I don't want that because it turned out to be a lump of coal. He chooses between the two. And that is intelligence. So oftentimes people use consciousness and awareness intermingled. Awareness is a state of mind. It is that which doesn't let a moment of life go passing by without gaining its perceptions. It sees all of life as speaking to one, and it wants to make use of what it is saying. Awareness particles is something different. They are some of the building blocks of life, and they produce awareness. We are made of those particles, the awareness particles, and they are responsible for the awareness that we feel within us. Now, we're going to look, firstly, at obstacles to enlightenment, and then, secondly, to ways to achieve enlightenment. But let's first take a few-minute break.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Al Mean has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Although you have heard me speak about this in segments before, we haven't summarized it for you. And so that is what I would like to do today. The biggest impediments to our reaching enlightenment is the following. My brothers and sisters, the dialogue in the mind that stands between us and the place of mastery has a purpose. It is keeping down unpleasant emotions. Feelings that I can't deal with this. This is too painful. I had a child die. I had a husband be unfaithful to me. I had an uncle abuse me sexually. I had my favorite dog die. I was sent off to boarding school. I felt unloved and abandoned by my parents. All of these things. I can't deal with it, so I suppress it. The most painful of experiences can be made into one that no longer hurts through perception. Perception yields peace of mind. Suppression yields dialogue of the mind. So my brothers and sisters, for us to try and find the things that are lying like diamonds in the dust, the insights from these past experiences. How we do it is we simply track our day. All of life is begging for us to get those insights because the dialogue of the mind ties up energy that can be released to the rest of life, making all of life better, but we need to release it. And how to do that is you track your day, you find the areas where irritation arises. Where there's a ripple on the water, there's a fish of perception underneath. So what you do is that you take the ripple and you sit down. If you don't have a minute, you go into the bathroom if you have to. Or you jot down what caused the irritation in the middle of a business meeting. And that night you take time for this deep, meaningful living to gain life's insights. And you see, what is the issue? In Journey to the Heart of God, we have mapped out the questions to ask. What is the lesson? What is the role I'm playing? What is the contract? What are the mirrors here? Can I allow this? You know, can I release it? And so forth. So you take a look at it to see what the issues are. Then you go back in your life and you see where similar issues have been in your past. It might be that you were irritated because you felt overlooked. It might be that in first grade you were so shy you sat in the back of the class and the teacher just treated you like a hole in the wall and never asked your opinion. So you deduced that it must not be very valuable. So this damage is wanting to be healed. If you get the insights of the ripples in your day, you are dealing with the issues from the past. And as you do it, day by day, setting aside 20 minutes to a half an hour each night to start to do the life of self-examination, your dialogue goes more and more silent. Now, there's two other very important places where this is an issue, and one of them is the personal labels that people give us and that we give ourselves. They come in very subtle forms beyond the obvious. It could be labels of attributes. For example, it could be that we are seeing ourselves as glamorous. Well, so we don't want to go to the supermarket in our blue jeans because people expect us to be glamorous. There is nothing that traps awareness quicker than others' expectations of us. Don't allow them to think they know who you are. My brothers and sisters, how can we possibly know anyone when we are a being as vast as the cosmos, having a human experience. It's not possible. You cannot know anyone. And for us to want to be understood is part of self-pity. We cannot hope to be understood. Truly, truly get that. Because we cannot understand ourselves. As vast as the cosmos, if we are a reflection of the infinite is changing day by day. We are unable to even know ourselves because from moment to moment we are not the same. And we are growing from these lessons we're learning from the ripples in our day every night. And so tomorrow's you is not the today's you. How can anyone understand you or think they do without putting you in a box? So make absolutely sure that that need to be understood is not there. You know, sometimes there's a need to vent. It doesn't matter where. Sometimes it just is that you pick up the phone, ask a friend if you may vent for a little bit, tell her there's no need to analyze, you just need to express things, and would she mind listening? You can do it to the dog, you can do it to your local fishing pond. But wherever you're venting, don't expect yourself to have understanding of it. It's just that sometimes pressure builds up. So we don't ask for meaning for life, my brothers and sisters, nor to be understood. It's impossible. From our vantage point, we only have the tip of the elephant's tail. So how can we possibly know that elephant? What we ask for instead is clarity. Clarity to understand what I'm conveying this moment, or clarity for me to understand what you are saying this moment. Our last show was entirely devoted to relationship and communication. And so please listen to that if you missed it. And that is something we can ask for, that we are entitled to. What is my next step? The meaning of the whole long journey, that is not for us to know, because it changes moment by moment, and it's beyond our vantage point. So if you shed those personal labels, watch the minute you do something because of another's expectation. That is an important indicator that you are starting to have a label. About 3 or 4 days ago, Mother put into the Book of Life, which determines reality's laws, that henceforth, motherhood will not be identified by mothers or by anyone else as servitude. So many mothers serve and bake and cook and fix and mend and pacify to keep peace in the house, to keep things running smoothly, that they end up with sore shoulders because they're carrying everyone's load. It's an interactive family. It's not Atlas trying to roll a big stone up the mountain. So everybody participates. So the servitude of mothers. And the point is that mothers often abandon themselves in this desire to serve their families. And because they do, their inner child does not feel lovable. This is a self-feeding system because then they settle instead for feeling needed. And so they serve even more. You know, mothers that are older get neglected by kids that get too busy with their life, that they can't see the value of the mother, or they just branch off on their own. And so when they come home, mother tries to duplicate what she did before, as she cooks and she cooks and she cleans and she mends as though they're children. My brothers and sisters, a person needs to be seen for their own value, not for what they do. And so mother wrote in the book that servitude and motherhood need to be separated. They're not one and the same. So we often get defined label-wise by what we do. Oh, you can count on Sue. She's the organizer in our group. Oh, if you want to get something done, go to Billy. Oh, if you want to have a volunteer, Susie is so generous with her time. So we start to get our self-importance built up by these labels. watch them. They are trapping awareness. Then the next part, very important, is social conditioning. Social conditioning is the biggest form of enslavement in existence. And parents do it lovingly to their kids. Our children need to know parameters in which humanness expresses. That is true. You know, you don't walk over broken glass. You don't, you don't lie out in the snow with your pajamas on for 2 hours. It's true. But to tell children that if you lie out in the snow, you will get ill, or if you do this, then this, is programming conditions into them of cause and effect. For instance, you know, if there is the social conditioning of what is acceptable by the tribe, that is one of the very pertinent places where parents try to make their children fit in, stifling their mastery and their total genius along the way. You don't have to be what other people want you to be. The tribe will control anything it can't control. It's true, it will reject. But that's uniformity. Mother has banished uniformity as a reality out of the cosmos. If you go to Journey to the Heart of God and read the place about the social stages of condition, the social stages of development, you will see that I discuss the great bands of compassion that span the cosmos in the macrocosmic level. And they are the uniformity, that is total dependence, and then there's codependence. Codependence says, you might not be part of the tribe, but if I can control you and you will conform to that control, I will accept you. So there's this conditional acceptance. The tribe in uniformity has the same thing. You will find tribes everywhere trying to get you to conform. New age tribes. Don't get too wild out there, you know. Stay with us on this one. Don't question anything. My brothers and sisters, until we get to the place where there is no ego, we need to shun the control of a crowd. Watch how they are trying with their expectations to control you. It doesn't mean that you put things in front of people that are not ready. You don't have to spill these beautiful pearls in front of the swine, so to speak, or even to give steak to babies that are still on the bottle. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you're doing it because they're not ready to hear it, not because you will be ostracized or rejected. And so really watch for the crowd controlling you. Uniformity and codependence, which is diversity within uniformity, dependence and codependence, are done away with. Most relationships are based on the codependent triangle. I give, but because I give, I get to control, I give you acceptance, I give you love, but because of that, you have to conform. If you don't, I'm furious with you that you're so disruptive, and so I reject. The crowd feels uncomfortable when something of greatness is in its midst, because it either has to change so that the whole tribe rises up to be a tribe again, or it just has to kick you out and be comfy where it is. That is the usual choice. So, my brothers and sisters, be okay to walk alone, because you are truly never alone. Your journey is into the higher realms. I used to pray. You know, I didn't know about Mother until she called me in front of her throne in 2005. So I prayed to Father. And I used to say, Father, I am living in total isolation. I am living in aloneness. Seems to be the way. That is okay. Then, put something in its place. Put the glorious mystery of the cosmos in its place. Because I cannot be alone as long as I can explore the life forms that live in the hidden realms. And they became such dear friends, and since then, great and beautiful light workers have come into my life to become my friends as well. But most of my life that I remember has been alone. So, if aloneness is the price of greatness, my brothers and sisters, grab it. Because mediocrity is not an option. Let's take a few moments of commercials, and we'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life was dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the Heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the Heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almin at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almin. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back. And if we want to explore this a little further, this issue of enlightenment, my brothers and sisters, I want to repeat something that was repeated, I believe, 3 or 4 shows ago about finding the correct way showers as teachers to guide us along. The most prevalent problem for enlightenment, according to the Toltec seers tradition, is self-pity, and from that is self-importance. And self-pity and self-importance happen as a result of our creating this scenario in which we want to be understood and we want to have an actual label. So what we do at times when we can't find a good enough label to make us feel important is that we gravitate to teachers that focus on the dark. that focus on that which isn't. Now, I will tell you quite blatantly that in my work, I went through 2 years that are indescribably unpleasant in dealing with beings that were representing illusion. Every step of the way, while under attack at times of horrific nature, when those beings still existed, they do not any longer. But every step of the way, I tried to turn what was happening into perception. That is different than just saying, they're there, be scared, and come to me, I'll tell you about them. So that is another very subtle form of identity. I am not that, so therefore, I'm a light worker. And then, eventually, we find those who are very willing to tell us about, you know, who you were in past lives and what your purpose here is and so on. And when people come to me, I say, look, it might be that there is a role that you play that is magnificent and would be helpful to understand. But any role is just a role. It's not an identity. So I'm going to ask you to throw everything you think you know about being, you know, Ramses the Second or whatever, throw it out the window. If it is true, it will reassert itself, it will come back, and it will be seen by you in visions and so on. Empty your mind. There's no need to be anything. So there are teachers that prey on our need for identity. The road to enlightenment is to get rid of identity. There are those who fill our mind with information pertaining to things that we are, when that is exactly what we have to empty. So that is something to consider. The other thing, my brothers and sisters, that could be a pitfall is the information that keeps pouring in. I recommend if somebody is very serious about walking my journey with me, that they stop reading books altogether. That we day by day bring in new information as it's happening. Not only me, but them. I'll give them mine, they give me theirs. We do this together and we put together the large principles. But we get it directly as it occurs. Any book is obsolete because of the rapid rate at which during this cosmic ascension, life is changing. So I actually recommend that they stop that. And if they walk my journey with me, it is helpful that they read my books, but I will tell them what's obsolete. But I want them to understand what's obsolete because now they can understand then where we've gone to. Let me give you an example. The nature of the seven directions is important. It's no longer in existence. It is a field now because the seven directions collapsed. But within this field of, say, no direction, the qualities of those directions still exist. And they sometimes pulse in what is dominant. So there's times when the qualities of the north would be dominant in this field, times the qualities of the south are dominant in the field. It is not easy to understand those qualities in a unified field unless you understood them the way they were before. I also recommend that people get off this flood of negative information that comes through the emails. Of, oh, planet X is on its way, you start digging underground shelters, and so on. If we change ourselves today, this entire reality will change, my brothers and sisters. We will be out of the way of such harm. It is not the intention of the infinite. Mother has clearly stated this, that major global cataclysms happen. They might be localized, as I pointed out a few shows ago, and when we discussed 2012, they may be localized. That promotes a wave of compassion. A global catastrophe promotes a wave of panic, confusion, and lowers consciousness. So that is not Mother's intention. But if we focus on those things, the other area of focusing on the negative is television. So television is going to show us the bad news. It's a hype. It shows us a specific type of beauty, and that's the acceptable norm. It shows us what we think is healthy. There's a rail thin woman in a bikini with a Coca-Cola smiling with veneer teeth at us and bouncing up and down with shiny hair. And so it's supposed to be the image of health. There is a total conditioning happening from the television. Choose your movies carefully. Watch your videos. To watch the war games is to strengthen such an illusion and keep it in place longer. The more mastery you achieve, the greater the effect and influence of what you focus on. So not to focus on the negative. My brothers and sisters, let's take a little look at exactly what does promote this wonderful enlightenment where we are no longer identifying with the physical. One thing that I have done, and I often quote products on the air, and then my office says, "What are you doing? They're no longer available." But I'm pretty sure that this is still available. It's a product that we special make when you order, and it's our meditation series. Right after I went into God consciousness, way back in 2000, what I did is I put the experiences into meditations. If you can do the meditations where you become everything, if you do them a couple of times a day, till that feeling of being all that there is part of your life, you will start to live that meditation. That is a physical tool that I've prepared to assist you. Secondly, there are two ways to do this, and one of the ways is that you can see further and further and further. And then your mind is going, "I don't like it when Almin speaks about what's beyond the cosmos and what's beyond the cosmic membrane and what's out of there and how Mother was formed. That's too big for me to think about." That's exactly the point. The reason that in my lectures, in my books, I stretch the mind further and further and further is so that it will give up. So that it says, "No, I can't control this, so I'm just tuning out of here." And that's exactly the place we want to be, to release ourselves from the tyranny of surface mind. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to come back and just close this off with our last ideas, but I'm actually going to do a quick little break. We want to get one more commercial in, and then we can finish up.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almin's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Elvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almin's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, my beloved family of light, the further you stretch your mind, even if it's uncomfortable, the more surface mind realizes that it cannot cope, it will try and attack or ridicule or walk away from or ignore the source of it. But if you persevere, that will happen. And then the third tool on this road is recapitulation. To get to the point where you know exactly the insights that are being given to you. The next tool on this road is reading your environment properly. See, the need to know in many people is very prevalent. So that is why surface mind can maintain that tyranny. Enlightenment means that surface mind no longer runs your life. In the initial stages, it remains as a tool of analysis. But eventually, it will in fact become nothing. It becomes attitudes that you have. Thinking is no longer separate. So my brothers and sisters, the need to know can be assuaged in the following way. All of the cosmos is your mirror. Around you, everything is telling you your next step. Tell yourself that you don't need to know further than that, but you will be able to get the course that you're heading towards by your environment. Become literate in reading your environment. For example, you might see that there's a specific statue. Let's say you've always been into a specific religion. You have a statue representing that religion. Let's say your next steps to break free from religion and become truly spiritual, which comes from source and so far supersedes any specific religious character or master or leader. You're asked to go beyond where they were. If that's the case, you might have a symbol in which this little famous statue that you're very fond of topples over or falls down the stairs. Toppling over, falling down the stairs, it represents something. Nothing in your life is an accident. This might be telling you that the spiritual masters, where you used to revere them, were at a level so far descended, see, down the stairs, from where we currently are, that even their lives, if compared against today, would not seem holy to where you are right now. That is an interesting thought. They were the holy ones, but we were way down the stairs in the basement below. So now we are what would then on earth would have been incredible holy ones, because we've been part of this ascension. There's another impediment that I should just mention that needs to be dealt with, and that is our fear of responsibility. See, my brothers and sisters, the reason some people will do everything they can to follow a leader forever and ever and ever is there's no self-responsibility. If the leader says jump, they jump. If the leader says don't jump, they don't jump. This is not something they have to even decide. It's a cop-out, because we have been clearly told, go ye forth and do the things that I have done, yea, even greater. We are supposed to be beyond any spiritual leader that has ever existed, in that we metamorphose the human species from a human ego identification all the way into Godhood. So if we can take that responsibility seriously. Why is it that people don't want the responsibility of mastery, of enlightenment? Why is it that they don't want to be held accountable? Because of lack of self-trust. Why has that been there? Well, the creation will not exceed the Creator. The mother, when she made life for the first time, did not have self-trust in her own perfection. I asked her that, and she said to me, how did I know my perfection? She said, I only knew my perfection once I saw imperfection. And if the mother did not have self-trust in her perfection, we would not have had ours. This has been fixed. Mother took back her self-trust to the very first moments so that she could make us with that self-trust in perfection. Trust and faith. What is that? Trust means that we know that as long as we live our highest truth, we will never make a mistake. Consider that for a moment. But you may say, look back. I tried to do my best back there. Look at the hash I made of things way back in 1984 or whatever. My brothers and sisters, it's a hash because we didn't see the ramifications. It's like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. All he could see was the mistake he made. He couldn't see the many, many, many good ripples of things that came from it. Next time you look back and let it shake your belief in self, your trust in self, because you think you made a mistake, remember the movie of It's a Wonderful Life. How every mistake that he made was one that benefited somebody else, and how that benefited all of life together. Trust yourself when you walk according to your highest vision, which is impeccability. You will not make a mistake if a mistake means something that damages life. Belief and faith in the Mother, the Infinite Being, and the Father. My brothers and sisters, the Mother and the Father. The Mother has just gone into an expanded beingness. We spoke about this a few shows ago. That has connected her with the essence of all things, the total, total perfection that has all the answers outside of the cosmos, which goes on forever and ever. She is now functioning from her enlightenment, if you will, to use an analogy. She's functioning from her highest and larger identity. She can hear our prayers. They will be answered. Let's have that belief that our prayers should not be, please save me, please help me, please provide for me. What is in your environment is due to your attitudes within. But it can be for illumination, for insight. We are no longer children spiritually, my brothers and sisters, to be saved. That is codependency. We are now in interdependency with the Infinite, co-creators with the Mother and Father. We are entering our enlightenment.
We hope you enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.